This episode is brought to you by MediCells Aesthetics. As the saying goes, invest in your skin, it's going to represent you for a very long time. One facial won't fix all your skin issues. The same goes with that one gym session with a personal trainer won't give you your dream body. If you want to see results, it takes more than just washing your face. Well, let's wave goodbye to enlarged pores, acne, and all signs of aging, and say hello to flawless skin. Well, MediCells Aesthetics is founded in 2015, and they are Singapore's leading aesthetic center committed to improving your skin health in the most effective and efficient way. Their cosmeceutical products are formulated in USA in consultation with dermatologists and made in Singapore after meticulous rounds of research and testing. They only use research-backed, top-notch ingredients which have been tested on different skin types over a period of time. All their products are free of alcohol, steroids, parabens, cruelty-free, free of harsh chemicals, high in concentration, carefully chosen for potency, and suits all skin types. So now, what are you waiting for? You guys can go to www.medicells.com and get them now. Starting a podcast can be fun, engaging, and lucrative. Depending on your goals, you could be starting a podcast as a fun hobby, a side hustle like me, or as a business right from the get-go. Well, if starting a podcast is something you've always wanted to do but you don't know how, then this episode is for you. Hi, my name is Rayson Chu and I'm your host for The Regacy Show. And tonight, it's my honor and pleasure to actually invite this amazing and famous podcaster. His name is none other than Eric Allen. Eric is an entrepreneur and avid MMA fan, which he has created the best MMA podcast in the Northwest called Top Rated MMA. He believes in giving back and honoring those that have served his country in the United States of America. And with his companies, Top Rated MMA and the Eric Allen Show, he is able to do just that by lifting others up and giving back to the community and veterans through great organizations like Higher Heroes USA. Another one of the ways Eric is able to give back is by sharing his story and encouraging others, no matter what path they are on, to find hope and purpose. And Eric's natural approachability and heart for people make him a great speaker for different events and podcasts. He knows that sometimes having the opportunity to meet someone and hear their story and how they've overcome is the courage someone might need to find new strength in their own battle. Well, without further ado, let's welcome this extraordinary podcaster into the house. Woohoo! Yeah, Eric.
Oh man, thank you so much. What an awesome introduction, man. I appreciate you, dude. It's such an honor to be on your show, man.
Well, it's really my honor and pleasure to have you here, and especially when I got to know that you have interviewed some of the greats, the legends like David Meltzer, Steve Sims, Martin Krejci, and even the great Brad Lee. Damn, when I saw your podcast and heard it, I was like, wow, the content is simply amazing, and I'm pretty sure people who are tuning in right now should go and check out your podcast, The Eric Allen Show. And how have you been, man?
Man, everything is going good, man. This year is I'm really dialed in on and focused on building collaborations and partnerships with brands to kind of expand my brand as well, and hopefully impact more people this year. So that's the goal this year, is just collaborating, partnering, and hopefully helping more people launch a podcast this year. Cause I'm just a big believer that everybody should have a podcast, man. When I'm long and gone, three generations deep, my great, great, great grandkids can go and listen and hear my voice, hear my emotions, my feelings, see my face on YouTube. Right. I think everybody should have a podcast to be able to leave that legacy behind.
Oh, yeah, totally. I agree with you on that. So that's why tonight we are going to talk a lot about how we can actually build our own podcast and also at the same time make money with it as well.
Yeah.
Well, just want to ask you, right? Can you share with the audience a little bit more about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, so my name is Eric Allen. I'm the owner of ericallenmedia.com. I've been podcasting since 2017. I've released over 450 episodes and been blessed to speak with guys like Ed Milette and Brad Lee, Martha, like you mentioned, Steve Sims, you know, Dan Caldwell, Ken Shamrock, Brad Lee, you know, Bedros Koulian, David Meltzer. I mean, you name it. I've been able to talk with some of the greatest guys and gals out there, and it's been just a huge blessing, man. And so that's what I do is I love to bring those guys on, have them share their knowledge, and hopefully it impacts the listeners of my show and inspires and motivates them to go out and make a change in their life. And, you know, so that's what I do. And I work with brands for like how-to box, you know, how-to videos, explainer videos, box opening videos. So I do a lot of that stuff, do some voiceover work. And, you know, I'm a father, I'm a husband, I've been married for 18 years, man. And so just loving life, man, and hopefully just making an impact.
Wow, nice. Well, later on, we're going to talk more about how you actually get all these big names, man. All these amazing big names have always been on my list, especially some of them have appeared already, some haven't yet. So I'm really looking forward to see how I can actually bring some of these big names like David Meltzer, Brad Lee onto my podcast as well. And before we dive into the main focus of our interview, our listeners would actually love to get to know you a bit better. So can you tell us a bit about your backstory on how you became a podcaster? Because I understand that back then you actually had some addiction issues and all. How did you actually overcome them and become such a successful podcaster, man?
You know, yeah, if we go back, you know, my parents got divorced when I was 11 years old. I grew up in what I thought was a typical household, played Little League, went to school or, you know, went to church. And when my parents got divorced, my mom got together with a guy who was very physically abusive, used to beat the crap out of her. And I remember, you know, being 11 years old, 12 years old, watching this guy hit my mom. And I was like, what is happening? I'd call the police. My mom would never press charges. And then they moved us to Montana, small town, population 1,200 people. And they had this 3-bedroom house that they rented. It was one for them, one for my little brother. They'd gotten pregnant and he was a few months old. And then one for my younger sister. And they said, Eric, you get to live in the garage. So I literally had this bed on one half of the garage with a plastic tarp that was my wall between my bed and the truck that pulled in. And so I had a fireplace on my half of the garage, luckily to keep me semi-warm in the middle of those negative degree winters of Montana. And, you know, the abuse continued. But there was a moment when I was about 13 years old and they came home arguing, wasn't anything different than anything else. But as I was brushing my teeth that night, I felt like God was like going, dude, you've got something, you know, something's going on. You should go check this out. And so the way the house was set up was behind me was the kitchen to the pantry to the garage door. And so as I turn around the corner, I see this man on top of my mom and he's just one after the boom. Oh, man. So there was just this moment where I had to defend my mom. I literally grabbed a cast iron pan and had to hit this guy in the head twice to get him off her. Whoa. You know, lots of blood. And that really set me on a trajectory for the next 10 years of my life where I battled addictions, like you said. I was in jail at 18. I got kicked out of my dad's house 2 weeks after I graduated high school, and I moved 21 times between ages of 18 and 21. You know, 21 years old, $28,000 in debt, had to file bankruptcy, battled addictions. In 2004, I was working at Starbucks at night. A girl walked in, invited me to a church event, and I felt like, man, I'm going to go. I'm feeling depressed. I have no friends. I have no direction in life. And it was in that moment that I think God was planting a seed. It was about a month later. It was Easter 2004. And all of a sudden, I woke up after a night of party and felt God going, dude, you're done. And I decided in that moment to quit cold turkey, drinking, drugs, cigarettes, everything in that moment. And I gave my life to Christ in that moment. And that girl actually ended up being my wife. We met and we married in less than a year. We've been married for 18 years now. But she was really that guiding angel that came in and helped me get on the right path to get sober, to get better at just mentally, how do I approach life and how do I start breaking those chains of abuse, addiction, rejection, and addiction that battled my family before. And so that's where we're at today, man.
Oh, wow. I feel you, man, especially when you said that your parents divorced when you're younger. My parents also divorced when I was younger as well. But of course, you had it worse in a sense because you had abusive stepfather. Your mom have to endure all this abuse and you have to defend for her. Damn, that's so painful when I hear that. And I'm glad that you actually, you know, do your best to become one of a better person by, you know, improving on yourself, and you found God, and after that you realize that, hey, you know, you need a change. You have been moving here and there 21 times, and you decided that that's not my kind of life. And when you said all this about addiction and all, it reminds me of a few people, especially one of them is like a guest from my show back then, Adam Japlin, who was like, you know, a drug addict as well, and overcame a lot of obstacles to become where he is right now, like you as well. And another guy, I'm pretty sad to say about this guy because he's no longer around. His name is Aaron Carter. So the late Aaron Carter of you know, Backstreet Boys, the brother. Ah, man, if only, you know, he had the similar path as you have, friends who, you know, guided him and all, probably he would have been singing, you know, I Want Candy over here right now already, right?
Yeah,
man, it's sad to hear that. And just want to ask you, right, while you were building your life, your business as a podcast, and also your podcast as well as a podcaster, I'm pretty sure during this period of time, you would have made some mistakes, or we as common people would have mentioned, it will be a failure. So do you have a favorite failure of yours, and how has that failure or apparent failure set you up for later success?
You know, I think failure for me was really just not understanding how to use money. You know, I used to spend it frivolously. I would, when I was right before I filed bankruptcy, I was at a point where I couldn't even afford to pay $200 a month rent for the apartment that I was living, the room that I was renting. And I was so bad because I was out buying weed and I was buying alcohol and I was partying and buying CDs and music and things like that. And so I was literally borrowing money from a check, like cash advance store, to pay some of the bills. And then the following week I borrowed money from a different cash advance store to pay back the other cash advance. So I got in this wicked sort of routine, and it took me a long time to realize, like, man, how do I get back on track? How do I get my money back on track? After I filed bankruptcy, it was really a restart for me, where I couldn't even start or open a savings account, not even a checking account, but a savings account, without having my wife co-sign. And so it literally like set me back quite a bit. And I was like, man, how do I make this better moving forward? And, you know, obviously my credit tanked at that time. And so my wife and I, when we got together, we just started like putting everything into an Excel doc and really watching what we were spending on. And we were really focused on paying down debt. We're 100% debt free now. We own two vehicles outright. Like, we've been able to do it right over the last 15 years, right? That was the biggest mistake for me, is I just didn't understand how to utilize money in my favor, right? I just thought, oh, I'll just go out and spend money, not realizing the repercussions that would happen if I was building up all this debt. And so that has helped me get on track. And now, like I said, debt-free, and really have a focus on just building up a nice amount of money so that we can go out and we can buy the property that we want and things like that.
Nice. And just wondering, where and who did you learn from in terms of how to manage your own money? Because I'm pretty sure there was someone or something, like a book that you actually, you know, read or chanced upon that actually got you to where you are, right, in a sense?
Yeah, I mean, my wife is really the person that we nailed on. She's more the numbers person than I am. Like, I kind of get confused when it comes to math and receipts and all that stuff. So she's really helped guide me in that. Obviously listening to guys like Tony Robbins and Ed Milet and talking about, hey, getting that stuff straight, getting your finances straight, that was important for me. And so, you know, deep diving into that, listening to my wife and having her really put in this structure of this platform of our Excel doc and really just tracking everything that we spend. We kind of do the Dave Ramsey virtual or Dave Ramsey envelope system. So virtually though, right? So our bank accounts, we have like 35 bank accounts, and when we get paid, it just all goes to different accounts. One's for groceries, one's for dining out, one's for, you know, emergencies funds, right? And so that's the funds that we just build up. We've decided to do that. And so when our grocery account gets down to zero, well, we don't get to buy more groceries until we get paid again, right? So we've been able to do that. And it was really kind of a combination of people, my wife, Dave Ramsey, Tony Robbins, Ed Milet, those guys really kind of helped me get on the right path.
Wow, amazing, amazing. Oh, and it's really incredible to actually know that you have 35 accounts, man. I mean, like, I only have five or six, so, but not as much as you have.
Yeah,
And
the
I'm
bank
pretty
loves me. When
sure.
I go in, I'm like, I need to withdraw from this account. They're like, what? Which one? Right? Like, so.
Well, I can imagine that. I can imagine that. Okay. Well, all right. So next is this. I would like to actually ask you is that if you could have a gigantic billboard, Eric, anywhere with anything on it, what would it say and why?
Love people, man. Here's my message to the world is if we just all stopped judging people and just love people where they're at, the world would be a better place, man. It's not my job to judge anybody. I don't care if you identify as a toaster, a man, a woman, whatever it is. If you're not hurting yourself or you're hurting or you're not hurting others, I don't care what you want to identify as. My job is just to love you where you're at. And hopefully through that, it will help make the world a better place. If we
Whoa.
stopped watching the news and we just stopped judging people, the world would be at peace.
Oh yeah, true. I mean, like, it will be a really peaceful place, and everyone is just helping one another, not judging one another. Man, that kind of life, that kind of city and country, man, I would love to be there, man.
Yeah,
But
yeah.
it's gonna be a long time. It's gonna be a long road for this to happen.
For sure.
Yeah, and I would like to ask you, right, when you were actually building your life, your business up, I'm pretty sure you have met mentors other than Ed Milet and Tony Robbins. So what's the best piece of advice you've ever received from them?
So in 2018, I won the opportunity or had the opportunity to sit down one-on-one with Ed Milet on Zoom. And him and I chatted for 30 minutes and it changed my life. My podcast is together because of him. And one of the things that he told me was an acronym, CANI, CANI, and it's constant and never ending improvement. And so I never want to be the smartest man in the room. There's always an opportunity for me to learn something every single day, whether that's on a podcast, a video, a book, connecting with somebody that is doing better than me, right? I want to hang around with people that I can learn from. And so constant and never ending improvement was that one thing that he said to me that was like,
Wow, nice. I love this, man. Kenny. Wow, everyone who's tuning in, remember this term, Kenny, because it is something that you need in order to grow as a person, as an individual, and even your career. So you guys should make sure that Kenny is part of your motto and part of your life. Wow, true. Wow, really amazing. And now to the main focus of our interview.
Yeah.
This topic is all about podcasting, and I want to actually know, especially for those who are tuning in, who are new to podcasting, can you tell us, like, how can we actually start, launch, and run a successful podcast?
Yeah, I mean, look, if you want to start a podcast, then just do it. Don't worry about the numbers. Don't worry about the number of downloads or number of views on your videos or anything like that. Do podcasting because you love it. I started podcasting in 2017, never looked at the numbers of downloads until 4.5 years in. And I still don't really look at the numbers. If you look at the numbers, it can be distracting, but it can also put in this mentality that it's not meeting the expectations that you think you should have. But podcasting isn't about numbers. Podcasting is making an impact on one person. Right. If you get more than one, great. But one person, maybe that one person even is you. Right. And so if you're starting a podcast, don't look at the numbers. I mean, like I said, didn't look at the numbers for 4 years. Also, build up a queue. So don't just go, all right, I'm going to start a podcast and launch one today. Right. Build up a queue, record 5 to 8 shows, and then start releasing one a week or 2 weeks, whatever it is. And whatever you decide to release on, get consistent with it. So my show comes out every single Friday at 7 a.m. Pacific time, every single Friday. And I've been doing that for since 2018-ish because When I started my podcast, I was really like loosey-goosey with it. I'll release one here or one there every month or something like that. And my numbers are not even my numbers, just the growth of my accounts. And like, I wasn't being consistent with it. The podcast was kind of like, right. But once I got consistent and every week, people start to expect that to drop every Friday at 7 a.m. Right. And so get consistent, build up that queue of shows, 5 to 8 shows, have it in your queue before you even launch, record those shows. And then you've got this queue, right? So you can build those out. And man, if you just set up a podcast, and you can do it for free. You can do anchor.com. I used Anchor for free for 4 years, and I just left them and went to a different podcasting called Blueberry. But it's just because Blueberry for me had some analytics that I now want to look at, and their customer service from Blueberry was amazing. They like jumped on a Zoom. They said, let's do this and help me move over. And so I would definitely recommend Blueberry as your host, but you do have to set up a host. Like most people are like, what's an RSS feed? Well, it's essentially your address for your podcast, right? So get consistent and man, build up your queue and then just start putting content out and do it because you love it, man. Don't worry about the numbers.
All right. Yeah, I agree with you, man. I really don't worry about the numbers even to today. Like I have never really went specifically count how many people has viewed my podcast or even tuned into iTunes or Spotify and how many downloads I have. I just consistently keep going because I also had the same issue or I would say same problem as you back then where, you know, I just post as and when I can and when I want and it's not so consistent. Yeah. And man, I love what you have mentioned. Be consistent in your content and have as many cues as you can. And then after that, boom, just keep going and just keep getting them out on to the social media and the podcast platform. And of course, I would like to ask, right, if let's say the person that's tuning in right now is actually using Anchor because you said you pop over to Blueberry, right? So will it affect the amount of podcasts that has been on Anchor or something like that?
Yeah, it's a great question. So Blueberry helped me move all of my old shows over underneath their system, essentially. But everything's already been released, right? So it's all on Apple and Spotify for my previous show. The thing that you have to realize too is when you switch a host, though. So if you're at Anchor and you have 15,000 downloads total combined for your show since you launched, right? Not per show, but like your total number. When you change your host, whether that's going from Anchor to Libsyn or Anchor to Blueberry or wherever it is, that number resets. So if you're a numbers person, that can freak you out, right? Me, I just didn't care. I'm like, I'm not a numbers guy. I don't care about the number of downloads I get. Right. And so once it switched over, it resets to zero and then it starts building that number back up. Now, I didn't lose my content. I just lost the quantifiable number of downloads. Right. So for me, it wasn't a big deal, but that can freak a lot of people out. Oh, my gosh, I went from, 10,000 downloads to zero and I guess the overall theme, it's going to drop to zero. But just understand that your show is still there. It's still out there. People are still downloading it. And as soon as you turn off Anchor and turn on Blueberry, the numbers start picking back up again, right? So that's the only caution I guess I like to throw out there. But, I had no issues changing from Anchor to Blueberry. I loved it. And I was scared at first. I was like, well, how do I do this? I don't know. A friend of mine referred me to Blueberry. I called them up. All right, shout out the message. They said, hey, let's jump on a Zoom. Literally the guy from Blueberry is amazing. They jumped on a Zoom, walked me through exactly what I needed to do to make the switch over. Now it's installed on my website, so I can just go to my website, post my blog, and it automatically zips out to all the audio formats, right? I love Blueberry. I'll promote them all day. If you go to my website, there's a special code. You can get a discount on there too.
Awesome. So for those of you who want to try out with Blueberry, you can go to Eric's website, which is in the caption below, and you can go and try it out. You can let us know how is it after that, and who knows, we might be the ones who will be subscribing to your new podcast as well. Just hit us up. All right. And I'd like to ask you, right, in terms of being a podcaster, you also sometimes we'll get to see people going to actually talk about this thing, which is sponsorship. Like sometimes you get to hear this episode is sponsored by blah, 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 right? Yep. So I'm curious, when you are starting out, how can you actually get sponsors for your podcast?
It's a great question, man. I think a lot of times you can decide to do sponsorships, either paid sponsors, or you can do some trades. And it's sometimes easier to do trades when you're first starting out, right? And so that's what I did. When I first started, my buddy has an apparel company. I said, hey, man, you hook me up with some free clothing, I'll hook you up with some shout outs on my podcast, right? That can kind of build up your sponsorship library, right? And so I have some trades. I work with a local massage company here in town where I live, and they give my wife and I a massage each month, and they get a shout out on my podcast, right? So we did some trades. I also have paid sponsors that come on, and they can pay for a 30 or 60 second ad, or I have just a, you know, kind of like, hey, let's get you on my website, we'll give you a shout out. I have several different sponsors of packages. I just launched what we call micro sponsors. So people can be a sponsor of my show for as low as $25 a month. And they can get on my website. So pretty cool opportunity for folks that just don't have a huge budget. But if you want to get sponsors, reach out to companies that of products that you're already using. So like I use Asana, and I use Loom, and I use, you know, Shady Ray sunglasses. I drink from a Yeti cup, right? So these are companies that I would reach out to and say, hey, would you be open to an opportunity, or would you be open to a conversation about sponsoring my podcast, right? Approach those guys. You're going to get a lot of no's, but you're going to get that one company that's going to reach out and say, yeah, absolutely, right? Also, here's a secret tip that the majority of people that I've spoke to as on shows don't know about this, but I actually offer podcast sponsorship as a gig on Fiverr. So people can come across my profile on Fiverr and see promote your brand on this podcast, and they can do that. And I've made several thousand dollars from people who have paid me through Fiverr to be a podcast sponsorship.
Okay. Wow. Nice. So, okay, cool. So if let's say this person is starting out on his or her podcast, and he or she just got a lucrative deal from probably a crypto company or whatsoever, right? Yeah. So they're saying, hey, we are giving you, you know, 5,000 USD to post, to shout us out. And if let's say he or she found out that this brand has bad reviews, how should they actually reject them? Should they reject them?
That's a great question. I say only work with brands that you work with and do your research, right? Like, I'm not going to go out and promote something of a brand that doesn't have the same beliefs as me. I'm not going to promote a brand that doesn't have the same values as me. I'm going to do my research and make sure that they're good. Even on Fiverr, when they approach me and say, hey, I'm interested in doing this, I want to do my research and make sure that I'm not promoting a scam or promoting a bad company, right? So I will do my research. But here's the cool thing. Because it's your podcast, you get to choose who gets to be on your podcast. Whether that's a business or a guest, you get to choose. And so I say, do your work, do your homework, do your research, and work with brands that align with your values and your beliefs, because that's what makes the biggest impact for your audience, because your audience also aligns with your values and your beliefs.
Totally agree with you on that, man. Wow, love it. So for those of you who are tuning in, just know that, you know, if let's say this brand is something that you really believe in and you really want to support them, and it's not just for the sake of the money that you're going to earn, like the few thousand dollars, then go with it and go and get some research done before you actually accept any of these deals, like what Eric mentioned, or else, you know, you scam or you are scamming other people, which is not nice for your brand, and it will definitely be a very bad focal point for you. And just now you actually mentioned about guests, and we actually way back we actually mentioned about all these big names, Ed Milet, Steve Sims, Mata, and so many other people. I would like to ask you, how do you actually book big name guests for your podcast?
Yeah, you got to think out of the box, man, because these guys are busy and they got a lot of stuff going on. And so when I first started podcasting and I was reaching out to guests to ask them to be on my show, I did what probably 99% of podcasters do. They have a templated message that's already put together and they just change the name at the top and they email that to them or they send that to them in a DM, right? That's probably what the majority of podcasters do. I did that for the first bit, like first year or two. And I realized that I wanted to up my game. I wanted to get the attention of these bigger names, Ed Milette, Sean Whelan, Brad Lee. How do I get those guys on my show? And so what I literally did was I pulled out my phone and I did a 30-second video. That's it. Don't go over 30 seconds. And what I did was I found a post that they did or something they're trying to promote. Ed Milette just released The Power of One More book, you know, right? So if I was reaching out to Ed, I would shoot him a message on Instagram DM. I book 99% of my guests through Instagram DM. And here's what I do is I pull out my phone and I go, Ed, what's going on? It's Eric Allen out here in Coeur d'Alene. I know you used to have a house out here and you just released the awesome book, Power of One More. Let me help you promote that on my podcast. I'd love to have you come on. Tell us the story and the journey that you're putting readers through. Let's make it happen. We'll talk soon. That's it. 30 seconds in the inbox via DM on Instagram. I book 99% of my guests doing that exact method.
Wow. Awesome. Awesome. Man, that's fantastic. And so are you saying that for those who are new in the game of podcasts, they should also do this as well? Because I'm pretty sure those big names like Ed, Gary, and all these other big names, right? They would also look at the numbers. Correct me if I'm wrong. So if they are, you know, looking at this, how should we actually counter them to ensure that, hey, they should also be a part of this podcast?
I've never had any one of those big name guests or any of the guests on my show ask me how many downloads I've had. Not one. They don't care about the numbers. It's free marketing for them. And it's the same with sponsorships too. When you're working with brands and they reach out and they say, well, how many downloads do you have? I don't know. I'm not selling you on the number of downloads. I'm selling you on the value that I'm going to bring you for being on my show. I'm selling you on the value that I'm going to bring you for being a sponsorship of my show, right? So I never get into that. And I've never had any of those big name guests, Brad Lee, Tim Story, David Meltzer, Jim the Rookie, you know, Morris, Dan Caldwell, all those guys, none of them asked how many downloads do you have? Doesn't matter. It's free marketing for them. But if you're confident in your video, right, you can't just go and say, hey, I want you to be on my podcast. Bring value to them. Show them that you can bring value. Like, if, hey, man, I saw you posted this thing. It really resonated with me. I'd love to help you promote that event you have coming up or that book you have coming up, right? Show them that you can bring value to them, not just like, hey, come on my podcast because I need you to, you know, be on my guest list, right? Don't approach it that way.
Okay, nice. So I know this is not something that I actually sent to you in terms of question. Just want to ask, like, who's next for your podcast? Like, who are you aiming for this time around?
Yeah, man. So I kind of do things a little bit different, probably different than most podcasters is. At the beginning of every year, I put together a guest wish list. And I am very dialed in on that list. So my goal is to get 50% of the people on that list on my show throughout the year. Now, I release about 50 shows a year. And so if my list is 50 people, my goal is to get 25 of them on the show. And so I've had some big names coming up. I have some bigger names rolling out here soon. Let's see. Heather Monahan is someone that I'm in conversations with right now to have her on the show. Heather. Really excited to talk with her. And her and I have going back and forth. We just haven't been able to line up a date yet. Really excited to have her on the show. Again, we haven't locked that in quite yet, but we've gone back and forth on some dates. So we're just trying to nail that down. And then I think she'll be a really exciting guest. Her story is amazing.
Yeah, she is. She is. Man, I have been following her on LinkedIn as well. And of course, IG as well. I was like, oh, damn. When you mentioned her name, it's like, wow, it's amazing. Amazing. I'm really looking forward to the episode when she's going to be with you. Not sure when it will be, but rooting for you, my friend. Rooting for you. Wow, nice. And I would like to ask you, right, you know, just now we spoke about sponsorships. We talked about bring A-listers onto our list of in a podcast as well. Then now it's the thing, because you're doing this full-time, in a sense. You're doing this podcast and many other, and some other things as well, full-time as well. So how do you actually monetize your podcast?
Yeah, man, that's such a great question. And I actually do work a full-time job on top of doing my podcast full-time. So, I get up at 4 a.m. 6 days a week to work on my podcast and do the editing and reach out to guests and all of that stuff. And so you got to be disciplined and have those high standards, right? So to monetize your show really is, number one, there's sponsorships, right? Get sponsorships. But number two, affiliate marketing is huge, right? Work with brands that you use, Yeti, Amazon, like softwares, sunglasses. Pretty much every brand out there has some sort of affiliate program. Not all of them, but a lot of them do, which means that if you don't know what affiliate marketing is, you get to share a link of a brand that you're already using. Someone clicks on that and goes to buy something, that company is going to pay you a commission. Walmart has an affiliate commission, right? So like if you had a Walmart product that you use and you promote it and someone clicks on that and goes and buys it on their website, Walmart's going to pay you a commission. So to monetize your podcast, one, sponsorships, two, affiliate marketing is massive, right? Like I have on my website, I list a ton of resources. Some of them are paid. Some of them are paid through my course. Some of them are actually the majority of them are free. They're just products that I use. And I'm saying, look, I personally use this stuff. I'm never going to promote anything that I don't use. So everything on my site I use, and this stuff, it works great. Go click on this, go check it out. I have a huge section of awesome books that have impacted my life. So people can go see all of those books, click on those links and go to Amazon and buy them. I love that. But people also can go, they can get impacted by that book, but Amazon's also going to pay me a small commission when they go buy that book. And so that's how you monetize your podcast. The other way that I monetize my podcast is, like I said, I have this goal guest wish of people that I reach out to. And I get a lot of requests of people reaching out saying, can I be a guest on your show? And I don't say that braggingly, but I say that as my brand is building up. My brand is getting bigger to the point where people are reaching out and saying, I want to be a guest on your show. The problem with that inbound request is I've got this target list. And when I take these inbound requests, it takes me off my goal list. And so what I had to do a couple of years ago is I started charging a fee for people that reach out and say, I want to be a guest on your show. I charge an inbound request fee to be on my show. And sometimes they take it, sometimes they don't. Some people are like, oh, I would never pay a fee. And then some people are like, dude, I'll pay you all the money in the world. I'll take care of it, right? So it just depends. And I have my fee set high because the people who pay it are the people that really want to work with me. And they're the people who really want to make an impact on the world. And so, man, those are the ways that I monetize my podcast.
Nice. And how much would you suggest in terms of charging people who's coming onto your podcast? Would you charge at a premium fee or would you charge at a low ass fee?
I started charging $50 when I first started charging it, and it's now $500 to be on my show.
Wow. Okay. Nice. And for $500, do you like edit it? Does it include like anything else, like in terms of editing videos and things like that, and post it up for them, things like that? Or
yeah, of course. So with the $500, they get a premium service. So meaning if I'm going to record their show, it's going to be released within 2 weeks. It jumps the line of all my other shows that I have in my queue. So within 2 weeks, we're going to record that show. They're also going to get the full video, raw and edited. They're going to get a 9x16 version. So for Instagram, right, a stacked version, raw and edited. They're going to get all the image assets, and the show's going to get released out to my network, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, like all audio formats, Apple, Spotify, all that stuff, right? They get all of that. And so then they get a promote. Basically, they can go use that video however they want to. And so jump on the line, and then they have an opportunity too is if they want to promote that show, right? So they can do that $500 fee to be on the show. They get all that stuff. But if they're like, hey, I'd like to actually like to be a sponsor of your show at the same time, right? So, hey, let me be a sponsor of your show. They can pay an additional fee to be a sponsor of the show for a month. And it's discounted when they do that buy up front. And then they go and say, hey, I want to be a sponsor. So I'll discount the sponsorship rate for them to be a monthly sponsor as well.
Oh, nice. Wow. So for those of you who are tuning in and you are actually starting out as a podcaster, make sure you take down as many notes as possible, because these are golden nuggets for you to actually build your podcast, and also not just that, monetize it as well. Wow, really love it.
And I would just say this, like, don't let your mindset lower your value. So when I was charging $50, people are like, why are you charging $50? Some people were like, oh man, why would you pay $50 to be on a podcast? And then I'm like, well, why wouldn't you? Right. I know the value that I'm bringing. See, here's the thing is my prices are not based off of your budget. My prices are based off the talent that I bring and the value that I bring. And so have that confidence going in. You know, when I first changed my fee to $500, I thought no one's going to pay that. I get one of those at least a month. So like people are paying that much money to be on my show. I'm going, all right, I must be doing something right if people are willing to pay that much money to be a guest on my show.
Okay. Oh, nice. Wow. Love it. Love it. Love it. Oh, $500, man. I'm pretty sure, you know, you definitely get a lot of this $500. And can you imagine if you are interviewing, like, for example, five people for $500, you are easily getting 2.5K. And not just that, you are also just interviewing them for an hour, right? And you're actually getting a ton of value for them as well. So it's a win-win situation for both of you in a sense.
Absolutely. And just to be clear on that too, is I don't charge people for people if I reach out to them and say, I want you to be a guest on my show, right? Like I don't reach out to someone and say, pay me $500 to be a guest. It's the inbound request to be on my show, right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, just since, I mean, I'm on a website called guestio.com. There's a link on my website and you can go and pay people to be on your podcast or people can pay you to be on their podcast. And I've earned just over $2,000 from that website just in the last 2 months. It's a great website to be on. People can pay you to be on there and you can set the fee that you want. So, and also my show is only 30 minutes. It's not even an hour. So I only charge, it's $500 for the 30 minute show.
Wow. Okay. Nice. Man. Okay. Wow. I learned a lot of things from you as well, man. And for you to actually reach out to all this Team Story, all these people that's via DMs, right? You don't pay them. Am I right to say that? You don't pay them at all.
No, I've only paid one person to be a guest on my show and it was a $10 donation to a charity, right? So I paid $10 to a charity to, and I had Rachel Balkovec on my show, and she was the first woman to ever manage a team in Major League Baseball. She got drafted. She managed a AAA team for the New York Yankees, and she was the first woman head coach ever in Major League Baseball. And to have her on your podcast, she charged $10 that is donated to a charity, and that was the only thing I've ever paid for.
Wow. Okay. Nice. Wow. To be frank, Like you, I've never charged anyone. I've never paid anyone before. So, wow, love it. Okay, understand. Wow, simply amazing. A lot of golden nuggets, a lot of tips for podcasters. And I would like to ask you, right, what are your 10 tips to make your podcast a success?
So I'll give you some, and then if people want to get the full list, they can go to my website and just click on my resources page and they can hit that button and I'll email it to everybody that wants it. It's free. I'm not going to charge you for it. Just click on the button. It's under resources, ericalamedi.com resources. But here's the thing is we kind of talked about this earlier is one, build up your queue, have that set up. Don't stress out about, oh my gosh, I got to record a show and then release it in 4 days, right? Build up that queue. That's number one. Number two, be consistent. Always release when you say you're going to, right? If you say you're going to release on a Friday at 7 a.m., make sure it comes out on Friday at 7 a.m. And then if you want to build up your show, you've got to go and be a guest on other people's show. And you have to put yourself out there. There's a lot of Facebook groups. There's a lot of ways that you can be a guest on other people's show. And you have to do that a lot. And it's free marketing for you. And I'll tell you, in 2021, I set a goal to be a guest on 100 podcasts on top of releasing 100 of my own. That's a huge goal. The year before, I only did 25. But I said, you know what? I'm not 25. That's stupid. That's a stupid amount. I want 100. I want to 4X this thing. And so I went into 2021 with this mindset that I was going to get my name out there on as many podcasts as I could. And I was almost on a podcast every single day of 2021 where I was either recording someone on my show or I was on someone else's show. And I ended that year with doing 117 interviews on other people's podcasts and releasing 100 of my own. I was running two podcasts at that time. And so releasing all that, and that took my show to a whole nother level, man. Like, I was invited to go down to Brad Lee. I was on Brad Lee's podcast, dropping bombs. I've been featured on NASDAQ. Some of the videos, shows that I were on was people that heard me on a different podcast and said, man, I heard you on this podcast. Now I want you on mine, right? So just being on other people's podcasts is huge. Free marketing for you. It's beneficial to the host. Like, go do that. Those are massive tips that will help you be a success.
Nice. Wow, love it. And I would like to ask you, how do you actually be on other people's podcasts? I mean, like, other than Podmatch and GasEO, any other platforms that you can actually reach out to in order to get yourself landed on podcasts?
Yeah, I mean, I think they've changed quite a bit. But if you go to like Facebook and just type in like podcast, find a guest, or podcast, you know, be a guest or something like that, you'll find a lot of groups in there. Mm-hmm. I utilize those a lot. And you simply post in there like, I want to be a guest, and here's my story, here's what I can bring. And there's a ton of people in there that are interested in having you on their show. And that's how I get booked on a lot of my shows.
Wow. Okay. Nice. Okay. Wow. Love it. And I would like to ask you, right, you know, since we're talking so much about podcasting, so what does the future of podcasting look like to you?
It's growing faster than people realize. This is what the future is. Podcasting, especially when COVID hit in 2020, right? Everybody was like, oh my gosh, what do I do? And if you look at the stats, a lot of people started podcasts in 2020. But here's the thing is, with podcasting, you have to stay with it. You have to stick with it. I think I read a stat online, and, you know, obviously 80% of stats are made up on the spot, right? But I actually did read this. I don't know how legit it is, but here's the thing. 90% of podcasters, or 90% of podcasts that start, never make it to episode 50. And then after that, another 90% of those podcasts never make it to episode 100. So here's the thing. If you want to be a top-rated podcaster, just don't quit. Just do that, right? I think we're going to see massive amount of companies starting to utilize podcasting because it's free marketing and it's very easy to get the word out and it's very trackable, right? Like, if you wanted to look at numbers, you can. If you wanted to track, like, is this show promoting other brands and am I earning money from this code, right? Like, you can track that stuff. And it's super free, cheap, right? Like, I've never paid for an ad to promote my show ever. And we're just continuing to grow that. And, you know, I've been blessed. My show's ranked in the top 2.5% globally of all podcasts. And it's because I just didn't stop. I've released over 450 episodes. And I think we're looking at the future of podcasting is going to be massive. And that's video or audio, doesn't matter. But having a podcast is massive, massive. And I think people need to be doing the podcast if they want to grow their business.
Right. And talking about growing, so where and how can we actually promote our podcast? And I mean, like, you know, you just spam it on your social media, that's about it. But any other things that we can actually do to actually ensure that they grow massively?
I mean, you can pay for ads, you can pay for sponsorships. Like, you can pay for Facebook ads and Instagram ads and TikTok ads and promote it that way. I just don't. It's all word of mouth. If you're good at what you do, the word will spread, right? Like, if you're legit and you bring high value and high standards to your guests and your listeners, the word will spread. If you're scammy and you're standing in front of rented Lambos and, you know, inside rented houses and things like that, people pick up on that right away, right? So if you're real and you tell them about your flaws and your failures, and that's what connects with people. Not people that are like, man, I made $10 million in the last 24 hours, right? Those people are full of crap, right? Can it happen?
Right.
Yeah. But like, the people that go out and promote it, like, if you look at the real entrepreneurs, the Ed Milet, the Tony Robbins, you know, those guys are not coming out going, man, look how much money I made. Do they have money? Absolutely. But they're not showing you, like, they're not telling you, man, in the last 24 is not bragging about their money, right? They're very humble about it. It's those guys that, you know, they're flashing all these fake $100 bills in the video. Like, those are the idiots that you should stay away from, right? So if you're real and legit, your show will grow on its own. It'll grow organically. But I say post it as many places as you can. When my show drops, it goes out to Instagram. It goes out to Rumble. It goes out to Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Pinterest, TikTok, and all audio formats and my website. And so it goes out there. And like I said, I don't really track the numbers, but I can tell when I put it out there, I start seeing likes here and I see likes over here and I see subscribes here. So it's about that consistency, right? If everybody knows right. that it's going out to all formats, it's going to catch on. And it's going to start getting shared out there.
Right. Love it. Okay. True, man. And I would like to ask you, podcast or YouTube, which is better?
I think it's both. I think my podcasts do better audio than it does on YouTube. I think some people's show on YouTube will take off and you'll get, you know, a ton of views. It really depends on your audience. So some people have the time to go and watch a video on YouTube and you'll start to see a spike in shows. My shows, I get maybe, it depends on the guest, but sometimes my shows only get 50 views on YouTube. They might get a few hundred or even over 1,000 if it's a good guest or, you know, high level guest. But the audio, that's what really kicks it up for me. But it really kind of depends on your audience. And I think you can be successful as a podcaster on both audio and YouTube. I recommend doing both. Some podcasts, they just do audio or they just do video, right? I recommend, why not? Why not put it out at as many places as you can? What's the worst that it could happen, right? Like, I do all my editing myself. I record the show. And when I'm editing the video portion of it, I literally just save it as the audio version. And then the audio version's done. And it's easy for me to upload. So, man, I say, I don't know which one's better. For me personally, I probably see an increase on my audio version of the podcast versus the video. But, man, I say put out the video. Even if you had zero views on the video, you're putting out content. Eventually, people are going to catch on to it.
Right. I agree. So, why not both rather than just stick to one? And who knows, you might blow up in the amount of views and listeners once there's a great guest or something that was being said that went viral, in a sense. Yeah, totally agree. And well, as we are coming to the end of the podcast, I have one last question for you. And that is this. If today is your last day on Earth, what would you share with the audience that's tuning in right now?
Man, and we kind of touched base on this earlier on the billboard question, but people need to stop judging people, man. And like I said, if we just loved people where they're at, if they're not hurting themselves or hurting others, man, we should just be loving them. And I'm not saying like go up and be like, hey, what's going on? Like, put your arm around them. Like, but like, respect people and treat them nicely. You know, one thing that I love to do is if I'm out in public and I'm at a restaurant or I'm at a store and someone has a name tag on it, call them by their name. And it's not there just so you can be the next Karen to, you know, say, where's the manager, right? Like, don't do that. Like, the name is there so that you can call them by their name. And watch their face next time you're out there and they've got a name tag on. You're like, hey, Sarah, thanks so much for bringing my groceries. Or, hey, Sarah, thanks for bringing out my food, right? Their face, man, their smiles go up, because that's what we should be doing. People love to hear their name, man. If we can just go out there, call people by their name when you see their tag, right? Be nice to people, love people where they're at. That's the message, man. If you got 1 year left to live, man, like, go out there and just love on people, man. Love your family, protect your family, but love people where they're at, man. That's the best thing you can do. And I mean, like I said, turn off the news. The news has their own agenda. I haven't watched the news for 10 years, man. And for me in the States, I could care less who's in the White House, because I don't worry about anything outside of my 5 mile radius of where I live. My job is just to love people where they're at, and that's it.
Love it, love it, love it. Wow, I agree with you on that. Just love people, and you know, your life will be more positive. And don't watch the news, because it's full of negativity over there.
Yeah.
So I agree with you on that. Well, thank you so much, Eric, for your valuable advices in terms of podcasting and even as a person as well. I really admire what you have done and what you have shared with us over the podcast. So Eric, how can my audience actually find you on social media? Where can they find you?
So ericallenmedia.com is the website. It's ERIKALLEN media.com is the website. That I have a ton of free resources on there. You can go check that out, check out the blog and things like that. And then I do have a service on there where I have a start, launch, and run podcast course that you can purchase. Or if you're just interested in a podcast consultant call or strategy call, I have that on there. You can book that on there as well. Social media, just Eric G. Allen on Instagram is really my go-to social media platform that I love to use. So on Instagram, it's E-R-I-K and then G and then A-L-L-E-N. So Eric G. Allen. And I respond to every comment and every DM that comes through that's a legit person I'm going to respond to. Those are the two spots that you can connect with me on. I love connecting and following new people, man.
Awesome. Well, with that, I would like to thank Eric and all of you for tuning in right now. We really appreciate your time and you supporting the podcast as well. Well, stay tuned for the next episode of The Legacy Show, where we're going to have a lot of amazing guests that's coming on. So with that, take good care of yourself and stay blessed. All right. Good night. Bye-bye. Thank you, everyone, for listening to another episode of The Legacy Show. I hope it has enlightened you. I hope it has brought you to an epiphany where you realize that this is where you want to go and this is what you want to do. So I hope you will continue to support and also at the same time like, comment, and share this episode out to your people, to your family, your friends. And not forgetting that we have just created a Telegram group. It's called The Legacy Show Family. So you can go and check it out and let us know how you find this group is serving you. All right. So with that, I would like to thank you once again. See you and stay tuned for another episode of The Legacy Show.